scripture reading, we turn to John chapter 10. Read the first 30 verses of John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? It was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures, and we consider verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, not too long before the cross, Jesus spoke about us. He spoke about these other sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. So many years ago it was. The events that we read of, the narrative that we read of in this passage, so many years ago. So many years ago it was that our Lord suffered and died on the cross. And before his death, he spoke of us. He spoke of his people, the ones the Father had given him. He spoke of a people that he would gather out of all the nations, and that together we would have one shepherd. One shepherd. We're united with our brothers and sisters in different nations of the world. This congregation is involved in overseeing work of the missionaries in the Philippines. And we rejoice to have fellowship with brothers and sisters in a distant land. And we know that we ourselves are among those that have been gathered from the nations. That we are among those gathered out of the nations, united in the one body of Christ, and we have one shepherd over us who cares for us, that he's our shepherd. He cares for us. He laid down his life for us, the sheep, and he protects us. He leads us. He protects us. He provides what we need. And our mind is directed to that on this day in the proclamation of the gospel and also in the administration of the Lord's Supper. We think of Christ as our good shepherd. The good shepherd who laid down his life for us, who has shown us his love for us. We who are such sinners. And in this past week, we've considered our sins, our own violations of all the commandments. We tend to think about the sins of other people, or what we think are sins sometimes. But we know we're called to think about our own sins, our own violations of the commandments. And we read here of our Lord who came, who suffered, who was spoken against. When we read this narrative, it's in the context of those speaking against him. He was obedient, even unto death, even unto the accursed death of the cross. He has redeemed us, he has risen, he has ascended into heaven, and he assures us that he's with us now, In all the difficulties that we face today, He assures us He is with us now. He will never leave us or forsake us. He'll provide us with all that we need. And we are comforted by the Spirit of our risen Lord. We consider this passage under the theme, the One Shepherd. We consider, first of all, the flock, that there's certain persons that have been given to the Son, and we together are one flock with one shepherd. We consider that first, one flock. Secondly, the gathering. He says here, them also I must bring. I must bring them. We consider that in the second place. And thirdly, we look at it from the viewpoint of the comfort. That what we read of here, what a comfort that is to us in the different trials and the sorrows of this life, what comfort we have in our Lord and Savior. The one shepherd, the flock, the gathering, and the comfort. Some have been given to the Son. Jesus spoke of that. There were some that were His sheep. There were some that were not. Jesus said to some unbelievers, ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. So it's not the case that all are Christ's sheep. Some are referred to as not of my sheep. But there are certain persons unconditionally chosen. The choice wasn't based upon foreseen faith. It wasn't that He knew ahead of time who was going to believe and He chose us based on that. But it was simply His good pleasure. The good pleasure of God. Some are given to the Son. Some persons. And Jesus has them. Jesus says, other sheep I have. And He has them. The Father has given them to the Son, and the Son has them. No one can snatch us out of our Father's hand. He has eternally chosen us, and He gathers and preserves us. The Son has them. And you and I are among those that are referred to here. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. You and I, as we read that, the Spirit has worked in us faith. We read that understanding that we are one of the ones that are referred to. My confession, your confession is, I'm one of those that was given to the Son. Why do I have life when others do not? It wasn't anything I did. Eternally, for the foundation of the world, I was one that was given to the Son. Before we were born, He knew us. And all of the people of God, all the people of God are one. All the elect together. Verse 16 has two places where There's this translation, the English word fold is found in the original. Those are two different Greek words. The first word, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, that would be a word that would be translated fold, refers to an area that is open to the air, and it refers to the fold where the animals would be. In this case, one fold. The second word, though, is a word that could be translated as flock. When it says, there shall be one fold and one shepherd, that the idea there is one flock and one shepherd. One flock. Another point with regard to terms here is in verse 16, in the beginning of the first phrase, and other sheep I have. In the Greek, there are different words, two words specifically that are sometimes translated as other. One of them having the idea that they're other of the same, without being of a different kind. There's another numerically, but they're not of a different kind. You could say perhaps other of the same kind. Another word that would have the idea that is other, but also of a different kind. The word here is the word other of the same kind, bringing out the unity. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and they together are one flock. One flock. We see here a reference, and this is found many places in the Word of God, a reference to the fact that God's people would be gathered out of the nation. Like in Isaiah 19:18, that it talks about people from different nations speaking the language of Canaan. Or Zechariah 8, verse 23, that speaks of people from different nations that will say, that will say to a Jew, we will go with you, for we've heard that God is with you. That people from different nations would say that to a Jew. We'll go with you. We've heard that God is with you. Bringing out the idea of the gathering from the nations and also the unity, Jew and Gentile together, one flock, worshiping one God, the same God. One covenant, one everlasting covenant of grace. One covenant people, not two peoples of God. This is a good verse that goes against the idea that there are two peoples of God. Perhaps one wonders, well, who would teach that? I mean, who would teach that there's two peoples of God? That's actually a very common teaching. Common teaching among Baptists. Some will come right out and say that. There are two peoples of God, and they'll say Israel and the church are two peoples of God. And they talk about God's work with Israel up to a certain point, and then the Messiah came and many rejected him. And then Christ is gathering a different people, the church. And eventually the church will be raptured, and then God will return to work with his first people, Israel. Many will be converted, and they'll have a kingdom for 1,000 years, Israel. And they speak about what's going to happen with these two peoples of God. There's one flock. Jesus here speaks about other sheep similar that are going to be gathered together, and there's going to be one flock. There's one shepherd. One flock. There's one head. There's one body. You think of how in Ephesians 4 we read of how there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're united. God's people are united in the one shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus brings us. He gathers his people. He accomplishes our salvation. We're assured of that. We have no doubt that that's true. This passage also speaks of that. This rather brief verse speaks about how clearly about how there's one people of God, not two. And it's also a verse, as you can prove throughout Scripture, a verse bringing out that our salvation is all of God. There's certain ones that have been given to the Son, and He saves them. He saves them all. Jesus says, them also I must bring. Bringing out the idea, He will do that. If someone was to ask the question, does Christ do everything that He must do? And people would say, well, of course. Christ does everything that he must do. Well, he says here, them also I must bring. Bringing out the idea that he certainly does bring. Them also I must bring. When we think of the death of our Lord, First Peter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, for your sins, for mine. He has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Them also I must bring. And here it says, he hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Where does he bring us? He leads us. Where does he bring us? To God. We have fellowship, communion with God, with Christ. What a joy. What good news we hear. He died that he might bring us to God. He suffered for us that he might bring us to God. He calls us. He gives us new life. He quickens us. By nature, we are dead. We still have a depraved nature. But he has quickened us. He has given us spiritual life that only the elect have. Spiritual life. Everlasting life we have. He has quickened us. And we hear the call in the preaching of the gospel we hear the call of the gospel, the good news. And although an unbeliever may hear with, in the sense of hearing with the ear of the body, and perhaps be able to say something that about what was said, there's also an inner spiritual hearing. A spiritual hearing. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He works in us so that we hear his voice. And Jesus brings that out. "My sheep hear my voice." So it talks about in eternity, there are those that have been given to the Son. And also it talks about how in time, the sheep hear Christ's voice. And your and my confession is that we do hear him. We hear his voice. If someone was to ask you, "I hear you teach that there are just some people that hear Christ's voice and that other people do not." He says, "Yeah, that's true." "Do you hear Christ's voice?" "Yes." "And you're saying that others don't?" "That's right." That's what the scriptures say. We hear his voice. As the gospel is being proclaimed, we hear the voice of our shepherd, and he comforts us. He works in us faith by his Spirit. We are assured that he will preserve us. As we say in the canons, the second head, Article 8, he bestows upon us alone, the elect alone, the gift of justifying faith, thereby to bring them infallibly to salvation. To bring them. There's that word again. To bring. On some, he bestows on them the gift of justifying faith, thereby to bring them infallibly to salvation. We hear his voice. There are those that would lead in another direction. The context here and in Ezekiel 34, where we have another reference to the idea of one shepherd, both speak in the context of those that would lead in another direction. In Ezekiel 34, verse 23, it says, "And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them." Rather, that was verse 24. Verse 23, "And I will set one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them." I will set one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. And if you look at Ezekiel 34, an Old Testament passage that speaks of this idea of one shepherd, and if you look at this passage that speaks about one shepherd, in both of them, there's a reference to those that would lead in another direction. Ezekiel 34 says, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" That's verse 2. And in that section, it speaks about those that would direct people in a wrong direction. And in the context, it says, "I will set one shepherd over them." And then you come to John 10, and Jesus said, you know, "He that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And it's in that context that he talks about how there will be one shepherd, and that his sheep will hear his voice. He will gather his people. There will be many that will direct in a wrong way. There has been in the past. That was the case when Jesus spoke these words. That was the case in the Old Testament days. There were many that would tell people to go in a wrong direction. And that's the case today. But God assures us. Christ assures us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What a comfort we have in Christ Jesus. The Son knows us. He spoke of us. You're one of those, I'm one of those for whom he died. That really happened. Our Lord's going to the cross really happened, really took place, as we are told in the scriptures. He really has paid the price, his one sacrifice. He has saved us by his one sacrifice for sins. He brings us to God. He'll certainly protect us. He who laid down his life for us, he who calls us our shepherd, certainly will care for us. You think of the shepherd watching over the sheep. We are his sheep. He's caring for us. And the difficulties that we face today in times of sorrow and struggles, we know he will keep us. He assures us of that. We know he is with us. We're not our own. We belong to our Savior. And as those who have that comfort, the only comfort in life and death, that we're not our own, that we belong to our Savior who has redeemed us and who also works in us by his Spirit, he assures us we have everlasting life, and he works in us that we desire to praise him. You know, that's the way that first Lord's Day end. He assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. To live not unto ourselves. We live in a time where there is such selfishness. The Spirit works in us and makes us sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him, to glorify him in the things that we say. That we encourage one another in a difficult time for us as churches, for us as families, sometimes in marriages, for us to encourage one another, express our thankfulness to God for one another, help and assist one another, that we turn from our sin, that we confess our sin. We turn unto our Lord, and that we strive in our life to praise him. That we love him that we show love in word, as the Lord's Supper form says, we show Lord love in word and, quote, also in very deed towards one another. May we praise Him. May we exalt His name. May we bear witness to others, telling others the good news. May we praise and exalt Him, thanking Him for our salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for our salvation. We're so thankful for the communion that we have with Thee, the communion that we have with Thy people. And we ask that Thou would grant us the grace, O Lord, that we may praise Thy name. We thank Thee for the good news of the gospel. And now as we partake of the Lord's Supper, may that also be unto us, that we may be, our faith may be confirmed by the work of the Spirit, who works, confirms faith by the administration of the sacraments. May our minds be directed to, may our minds be on Thy wondrous works. We're so thankful for our salvation. Comfort all Thy people, forgive our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.